Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Investors Show. Happy Friday. Entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about Land Academy data versus House Academy data. And we're wrapping up Data Week, in case you didn't know.
Woohoo!
Jill's happy. Wasn't that bad, was it?
No. I'm... You know, it's so funny. I got to tell you something, though. Some people, data really scares them. And I told this to one of my employees the other day. We have a lockbox on our office door because it just saves keys and we don't have to worry about it. And if I change something, I have to change anybody's keys. I just change a lockbox code. No big deal. So there was our broker walking through our office building yesterday, and they saw the lockbox, and so they're peering in the windows thinking there's nobody in there.
Oh.
And our receptionist is sitting there looking back at them going, why are they staring in here? And she opens the door like, hey, can I help you with something? And there's a lockbox and no signage,
yeah.
Right? So the person goes, well, we were just kind of wondering if anybody's in here. She said, by the way, what do you guys do? And my receptionist said, real estate. And of course, then it launches in. I'm like, you know, that's really not what we do. Every next thing you know, everybody's going to say, great, well, what?
Oh,
you
know,
help
I'm looking
me?
For a house in.
Yeah,
that
can
happens
you,
to me every day.
You know, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. It's the last thing. So I properly tried to tell her, I said, please remove real estate. Because that just opens up this thing that's not what we do. In that form, what they think, what they always assume. I said, so please replace it with, we are investors, you know, property investors. I said, or if you really don't want to explain much, say data.
Yikes.
Because that
math.
Word.
We teach math.
Right? We teach math.
Everybody
that would be
run
hilarious.
Away. Run away with that.
Right. I said, just say we're a data company.
We kind of do teach math.
And data, more data than math. We don't teach them how to add up the numbers. We teach them what to use to add up the numbers. But we don't even, you know, it's really about data. So anyway, hers like, oh, how am I going to explain that? I'm like, don't. That's the whole point. You don't want to, we're here being under the radar on purpose, at least as far as our office is concerned, not in life.
Right.
Sorry. That was a long story. Sorry. Thanks.
So did they just turn around and leave?
Yeah, well, yeah, they still don't. You know what? I'm 100% sure because I came out at that point and said, we're not real estate is what you think. We're actually private investors is really what we do, you know, in this office. And I'm sure the lady walked around, turned around going, now I really have no idea what they are, which is totally
That's
cool.
That's fine. You can tell them to listen to the show, then they'll really not want to be interested.
Right. Exactly.
Before we actually get into the topic today, let's take a question posted by one of our members. On the landinvestors.com online community, it's free.
I want to add one more little point, and I'm sure all of our new members have this. Once you're in our world and you figure it out and you're at a dinner party, remember, I always had this problem, and I know our members do too. Like, people go, what do you do? And you go, oh, there's an exhale. And you go, how do I describe it that this person's going to understand? You know, that's always a thing. It's so funny. And I know that all of our new members, and old members, whatever, we always have this problem. It's funny. Duvall?
We were at a dinner party recently, Jill and I, and we described the whole thing to people that we've known for a long time, and they were disgusted with it.
Why do you think disgusted? I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Why
I
was
mean,
it
back in Arizona.
Why do you think
Not
disgusted? Because I still didn't catch that.
I just think there are certain people see the light on anything, and certain people don't.
Hmm.
You know, because they were looking at it not correct from the correct perspective. They were looking at it like, well, how does that help me as a homeowner?
Oh.
How does it help me as a homeowner, what you do? That's stupid.
I'll get your cash offer tomorrow.
So
that's how it helps you.
I know this is off topic, but then somebody asked me what I do. I said, look, I'll try to make it as simple as possible. We buy a piece of real estate and then we sell it for more. And they just get this look on their stuff like, you know,
duh.
Get a job. Don't you do something meaningful?
Not funny.
Seriously.
It's hilarious.
Like, I don't know what's meaningful. Like, going to work as an engineer? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
I've never met a happy medical doctor in my life.
Yeah. I do not know.
Thank you. I can't imagine doing anything else. I can't imagine it.
I totally agree. All right. Duvall asks, hi, guys. I'm a UK, United Kingdom citizen living in France. been very intrigued with this business model for a few months now, and I'm looking to start a monthly membership with Land Academy sometime this year. However, before I do that, do I need to set up a foreign-owned LLC and have come up with a significant... And I think I've come up with a significant obstacle in trying to set up my business bank account. A few banks have told me that this is an online business, I would need a physical office in the United States for them to visit and audit me. This is all hilarious. Mm-hmm. So they could see that I'm doing what I say I'm doing. Simply having a registered business address won't suffice, according to them. I plan on carrying on this business out completely remotely from Europe with no intention of moving to the United States. Has anyone overseas found a solution to this problem? And if so, would you be able to name the bank that you're using? I prefer to use HSBC as I currently have a personal checking account with them. Unfortunately, this is one of the banks that has provided this reaction. Thanks for taking the time to read and respond.
How lucky are we? How much opportunity do we have in this country that we live here?
It's very true.
Where we walk in, open a checking account, slap down $100, $500, go to the internet in your car, on your phone, and file for an LLC and get one in, I don't know, less than an hour, and then get a federal tax ID number immediately, and you're in business in an hour. In an hour.
It's true.
With a working bank account and the whole thing.
That's true.
That's what I got out of this. I met a guy a year ago, we were talking about real estate, and he was from Scandinavia, and he said, it takes about 8 years to start a company. And
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just
you have to jump through that many hoops,
yeah,
and all that stuff.
Wow. People have to come out and see what you're doing. We are so lucky here. Every day, about once a week, I had this feeling I just got from listening to this, that so much, I meet so many people that are so frustrated with their jobs or with their companies that they own, and they're just walking around whining about it. I'm like, man, I'll tell you, there's a data solution to solving almost every problem.
It's true.
So as far as this guy goes, I think that you're trying to get, as Jill would say, you're asking for permission. I think what I would do is send a mailer out and buy a piece of property with your whatever checking account you have right now, and then do it again, and maybe around your 8th or 10th transaction, I would really start to heavily look into incorporating and getting an LLC. But I do know I hesitate to even call it a workaround, but a solution to this problem is to get an American partner. Right. And have, you know, you can find that person. You don't have to be a part of our group or anything. Just find that person on landinvestors.com. Ask them. There's lots of guys in our group. I can name them by first name that would be happy to take you on as a partner and share deals with you.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, I'd be one of those people, but Jill and I are spread so thin. Every day before we sit down and record the show, we try not to do it, but it's like, okay, what's going wrong today? What website doesn't work? Who can't check out from which website and why? We just had that conversation.
We did.
So, I wish I could be partners with every single person that contacted me.
Me too. I agree. Thank you.
I got somebody's life story recently about why their first mailer didn't go the way that they planned, and through their whole, is an email form, mm-hmm, and through the whole email, they answered all their own questions. The mailer was too small. They didn't price it right. They didn't go through. They didn't take that last 10% of effort to price it correctly, and then scrub the data well. And they only sent 600 or 700 units out.
I saw that wasn't the Dallas. That
yes,
was part of the
was.
Dallas group, and
yes,
I thought
was.
That
did
was.
Did you read
really,
the whole thing?
I did. I did.
What did they say at the end?
I forgot. I don't recall. You know, I think you're right. From what I remember reading about that, was they kind of answered all their own questions.
They did.
I think it was great. They're like, yeah, got it.
Don't get discouraged.
Yeah, don't. You will. That's, you know, we haven't talked about that in a while. You know, you are going to make some mistakes. Be ready for it. It's okay. By recovering and moving on and learning from your mistakes, then you won't do it again. If we all just gave up right away on the first mistake, none of us would be there, including Jack and I.
Yeah, geez. If I gave up on the 10th major error,
Yeah, I'm talking about work, not just women.
Oh, it gets in the hundreds. Women are so difficult to understand.
Boy, if I gave up, whew, man.
This is Jill's way of wrapping up Data Week with, like, you know.
Whew, can we talk about something other than data?
Other than data, yeah.
I'm just kidding. Thank you.
Today's topic, land data, Land Academy data versus house data. And the differences and the similarities and why they're both, you know, we'll get into it, actually. This is the meat of the show. Land data is far and sparse. When you go look at a real piece of property, if you can visualize it, like on Google Earth, or even if you get out of your car on the side of the road and you're looking at a piece of property and it looks exactly like the next one, they all look the same. It's undeveloped rural property. And it doesn't change hands very often. Therefore, all the big data agencies, including the assessor, the assessor doesn't care about unimproved property out there. The assessor cares about urban property that's changing all the time, and they want to tax it more. They base tax, you know, they're interested in that. So,
right.
If the all data starts with the assessor, and it gets repackaged up by RealQuest or repackaged up by TitlePro or DataTree. So rural vacant land as a data set is really easy to understand, especially for a beginner. There's not much there to look at. House data is among the most difficult to understand. However, it's the most populated data set you can find. So if you know what you're doing, you can really manipulate it to profit from it financially. So that's why I always say, Land Academy, or what we teach in Land Academy is a fantastic starting point. And then once you're used to it and you've made it work for yourself and you realize it's something you want to do consistently from a career standpoint, move on to houses. There's some things that people get hung up on that have nothing to do with data at all. And they have to do with, like, doing transactions all the time for a living. You know, there's a lot of things you can do for a living. You can buy some stuff from China and sell it online. There's a lot of things you can do. I love transactions.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's so much money and so much, it's so interesting and fun to have transaction-based data. And here, it's because for us, there's just no surprises.
Right. You know what's in it?
It's all about manipulating the data. Go ahead.
I say what does it for me is the... It's the dollar amount per transaction. I'm not going to get as excited and when I've sold, you know, six necklaces at $1.50 profit each. I'm not going to get six. Even if I sold 6,000 at $1.50 profit each, which people would be jumping up and down versus I'd rather just do a few transactions with a lot bigger margins. Yeah. So
I get it. You know, the reason I'm still doing this, and we're not just sitting here buying and selling real estate, which is what we did for years and years and years. The reason that we have these academies now, Land Academy and House Academy, is because I just get a charge off of seeing other people do well.
It's true.
And with House Academy, more than Land Academy now, we have partners. Mm-hmm. We have financial partners and boots on the ground, and everybody's getting a big paycheck at the every week.
Mm-hmm.
I get off on that.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
So, you know, I love the transaction piece of it, but I also love the subscription revenue, subscription education, publishing piece to it.
Right.
So, what really is the difference between a Land Academy or a land data set and a house data set? Well, we already covered the fact that one's pretty sparse and less populated from a data standpoint, and one's packed. So, if you think about buying a piece of property in any given county, let's say you're looking at a data set of all the people who own 5-acre property in some county in Tennessee, let's say. We're picking on Tennessee lately. You're not going to see much variance when you look at the data from one property to the next. Albeit, some of them are real urban, some of them are very, very rural, and you can smoke those out by the assessed value. So be careful here. We don't ever use assessed value for pricing. But we do use it to make it relative to the next line item. One 5-acre property may be right smack in the middle of the town and worth $5 million. And the next line down is a very rural property.
Same size.
Same size, Might be the same owner.
Right. It's true.
And it's worth $10,000.
Right.
So our job is to look at those assessed values, smoke that stuff out, and price it accordingly. Maybe you just scrub out the $5 million property altogether, because that's just not what you're trying to do here.
Right.
Bang. And then you get that in, price it, and you get it in the mail. You want all the properties that are assessed at less than $100,000, and you're going to price them at $5,000 each, because you determine that that's what the market value is. We don't use the assessed value again. I sound like a broken record.
I know.
We don't use the assessed value to price it. We just use it to its relativity against the next line item. And so, and that's it. So you find everything that's assessed at less than 100 grand, you send it out for $5,000 because you think they're all worth at least more than 10.
Right.
And 5 or 10 or 15, 20 people sign them and send them back.
Right.
It's as easy as that. That's how easy it is to do a land mailer. We cover it all in the Land Academy.
So nice. We've been talking a lot about data, and we keep going into a little bit of the house stuff. So, but you just brought up a great point. I love the land. It's just so much easier, these transactions. I don't have to think about stuff. I don't really care about the roof, and there's not going to be a pool in the background, in the backyard that's empty that I have to think about.
Sounds like you're having an empty pool experience.
Maybe I am having an empty pool experience.
I know you are.
We put a new roof on, though. Well, that's great. Oh, and I have solar. Oh, no, that's a nightmare because we've done that one before. But, you know, with these land transactions, I don't have to think about it. And I can have margins, by the way, just as high. I can have a $20,000 profit margin on a piece of vacant land.
Oh, easy.
Just like a house.
Hundreds of thousands.
With a lot less headache.
Yep.
Thank you. I'm done.
So that's that's an overview of the data set for land. For houses, it gets way, way more complicated from a pricing standpoint. Yeah. So same county in Tennessee, you take a look at, the first thing I look at is everybody who owns a single family residence that's detached, SFR. Then I remove everybody who's got a mortgage entirely. That leaves about 40 to 50% of the homeowners left. Then I look at a few things depending on a lot of things, but maybe the age of the house, square footage, three bedrooms. I don't want to send out, let's say, mailers for two bedrooms, only three bedrooms and above. And it gets a little bit more complicated. Mm-hmm. So let's say now you've got that data set scrubbed down. It's already taken twice as long as land. Then I add in all their algorithms that we talked about earlier this week. Zillow, Trulia, Datatree, Redfin, and probably Realtor.com now. Take an average of those and cross-check it against what I think the properties are going to sell for from a price per square foot. Then I apply census tract data to make sure each line item, each offer that goes out, is priced correctly. A lot of work. But when that thing hits the mail and I've got 3,000 units in it, I know I'm buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
If I send out 10,000 units, which costs about, I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000 mm-hmm. total, I know I'm going to buy three properties where I'm going to make probably $60,000, $20,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference, the ballpark difference without getting, well, I got into a lot of detail, is that I really, really know what's going to happen with houses. And I know that they, once we actually buy, once we get the call back and a letter back, there's no sales process in houses at all. It immediately sells. Mm-hmm. We immediately know who's going to buy it. And it's bang, you know, the printing, the money, the cash printing press turns on.
Right.
With land, there's a little bit more work cut out for you. You have to do a posting on the HTML posting, get it all over the internet. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, it sells in the first 1 or 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more work. So the data sets, albeit the source of them is the same, they are treated and looked at and used. So different, so much differently.
The source meaning assessor, not meaning where we get them from, because we
correct.
Currently we use all three programs, but like we use
RealQuest for land
and TitlePro.
Yeah.
So here's usually what I tell people that they're starting out, because when you come in, like if you're a new member of Land Academy, you automatically get RealQuest Pro, and you get TitlePro 24/7, which is like Agent Pro 24/7. A lot of people know Agent Pro. Well, let me go back. CoreLogix RealQuest Pro is the same as ListSource. That's their company too. That's also CoreLogix. So anyway, but this is how we roll. We always use the Mac Daddy of everything. We always pay extra to have the top line of everything. I want to decide what I want included and not included.
That's right. List source is a cute little cover up for the real data source, which is RealQuest Pro.
Exactly. You want all the line items, not the 10 that they think that you need. That's what's like the difference between list source.
Data people love to just tell me what I need.
I know.
And they just love, they revel in it.
Well, no, I think because they think they're talking to a lot of people that don't understand it, but we understand
it. Just give me all the data.
I'll figure it out. So anyway, so that's what we use there. So then mostly for, a lot of it's for due diligence, but as another good resource, we use Title Pro 24/7, which is like Agent Pro 24/7. And a lot of people know Agent Pro, but again, this is the Mac daddy. So we have that. We are licensed providers. We share that with everybody. So that's awesome. So that's pretty much what's used on the land side. House side now, we've come along with DataTree, which is First American Titles, which now we have found is really, really top for that type of property. But in reality, Jack uses all three.
Yeah, and I mean DataTree too, because you never buy a house without without a title insurance, without an escrow company.
Right.
We buy land without it all the time. So
right.
DataTree is a logical extension for First American Title for a lot of reasons. Like we don't do we don't do any research on the condition of title before we buy it of the house. We always do it with land. Always.
Oh, before we buy it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. Say that again. I'm sorry.
We never, ever do a condition of title in-house to see whether or not the guy who we're talking to owns the house.
Oh, I'd spot check it, but that's
right,
all.
Right, but we don't dig deep. Like with land, we're like, whoa, wait a minute.
Because I'm acting as my own title agent.
Right, that's what I mean. So that's why, another reason you need a different data set.
Right.
Well, thank you for sticking with us. Honestly, it's the end of Shark Week. I mean, Data Week.
Shark Week.
I know that.
Did you say that on purpose?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know that it's not the most exciting topic to hear, yeah, but congratulations, you got through it. And I got through it, actually.
I got through it, actually.
So next week, we talk about some other stuff that's a little bit more exciting. But data is the nucleus here. And if you're still with us at the end here, you probably are a data person.
Very good chance.
We'll see.
Yep.
You've done it again. You spent another, I don't know, let's say 25 minutes this time listening to the Land Investor Show. Join us tomorrow for another episode where we discuss the step-by-step process of buying a property for immediate resale, both land and houses.
And we answer your questions posted on our online free community at landinvestors.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
What do you mean you made it through the week?
It's just as hard for me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it? Is it now?
I'll tell you what. It's not as hard. But I'll tell you, once in a while, I'm sure you had this thought too. It's like, what if we didn't teach anything? Well, all we had to do today is get up and buy a bunch of real estate and resell it. And we had one website. Think about that for a second.
That's like kind of like we used
it's
to
like,
have it.
Oh my God, I want that.
And we messed it all up.
All of the issues that we face. And I'm not complaining.
You're right.
All the issues we face are Land Academy or House Academy driven. And it's not because the customers are bad or any of that. It's all IT/just there's a lot of people involved.
You know why? Well, let me tell you why. And this is a good point because it's got so big.
Yeah.
If we didn't have, well, let me tell you why. I'm dealing with the thing right now on LandPin, our selling website that we share with all of our members. They get to use it for free. Okay. So we're having trouble, and it's only got a fraction of what should be posted on there, and it's over 5,000 properties.
I know.
I reached out to a guy yesterday to help me solve some IT stuff. I'm testing a new company now to see if they can fix it. We might have to redo the whole website.
Yeah, and that's fine too.
So my point is, he looks up the properties, goes, whoa, because he thought 5,000 was a lot. I said, I have 15,000 I need to upload up there as sold comps. And he's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So kind of thing. But my point of this is, if it was just one little website and it was just our properties and there are a couple hundred available at a time and all that good stuff, then yeah, it wouldn't be this hard. But you know what, Jack, we started down this path.
Yep.
And I'm still happy that we did it. And
I'm not complaining.
And we didn't seek this out. Just like everything, people came to us. We did not, it was Land Academy became because so many people kept saying, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. I want to know. Can you tell me? Can you help me? Can you help me? Okay, fine. This was the only way that we could do it and do more than one person at a time.
Right.
So here we are. And I wouldn't change a thing, but it is a whole lot of work, a different kind of work. But it's cool.
We've met some amazing people, and we've got now the whole point for us selfishly. Well, I want everybody to learn, but we have picked up some amazing business partners.
Yeah.
And so that's some amazing finance people.
And we didn't set out for that either.
Right, right.
I thought Land Academy was just going to be a little side gig.
That's what I thought.
While we're still doing our own deals, and they would really be totally separate, that it wouldn't all get, you know, we wouldn't be doing deals within Land Academy and within this community.
Same thing.
Never thought that was going to happen. I was just kind of, oh, here's a way of sharing our business. We'll be over here running our business. And then it's just exploded.
Huge demand.
And now House Academy, now we've realized that's what's so great too. Gosh, Land Academy's 3 years old. You know, now people are going, we know you got this.
Yeah.
You know, please tell us how to do it with houses.
Yep.
And here we go.
Yeah, Jill, you're right. It all is like demand driven.
Totally. Everything we've done has been, seriously.
It's answering people's questions.
Everything we've done, even our little online community. You know, is because people ask. And what's a bummer is we've gone down the path that people ask that we just weren't set up to do, like Jill Live. Remember, we started to answer, people were saying, can you help me with our phones? And we started to try to help, and we realized that's not our forte, everybody. We might circle back around and come up with a group solution, but.
Yeah, if you need somebody to answer your phone, go over to Pat Live. We have no affiliation or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's just, they do a good job.
Right.
If you need to accept credit cards, that's different. Go up to Land Academy and you'll see the Heartland. You'll see a link there. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Land Investors. Click on that. They'll get you going. They're doing a great job for us.
Right.
Heartland Payment Systems.
Exactly. Word's going to get out.
It's out.
Okay.
I see the report.
Awesome. Hey, share the fun and the word by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.